This is Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Corby Midline.
Welcome to our first show of the fall. You know, I wish I could transport you all here to upstate New York because it is breathtaking this year. It's been a very dry September, and apparently when it's dry, it concentrates the sugar in the leaves, and they don't just go red, they go, oh my God, red! And it's just spectacular. You know, we have terrible winters, but fall makes it worth it. Anyway, today we get to play with someone who is very near and dear to my heart and deals with me, poor thing, on a daily basis. Holly Mattson is a holistic business development specialist, and she has a freelance virtual assistant service called Lightseeds by Holly Mattson, and it offers business and marketing support to heart-based entrepreneurs. She combines her spiritual practices with her decades, like me, in the corporate world to provide a unique spin on a holistic business. So we're going to discuss the difference today between the mindset of a practitioner with that of an entrepreneur, a business owner, and what steps you can take to grow your heart-based business. Because remember how I talk about that Venn diagram, all angels are spirit guides, but not all spirit guides are angels. It's the same thing. You can be a practitioner, but not necessarily an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is their own practitioner. So we need to see how you can figure out which one you are and that it's okay, either one. Holly, I'm so glad you made some time for us this week.
Oh, I'm glad to be back with you, Corby. We have such a great, fun relationship, which to me is part of the key. So I'm glad to talk about this topic because it's near and dear to my heart since it was a decision I had to make in my own practice.
It is important. You know, I talk very often about the difference between there are some really, really good psychics who still go hand to mouth because they don't know how to do the business operation. And then there are the people who do the business operation and they're not really psychics and they're not really heart-centered business. But boy, can they be slick.
Yes.
But it's those of us that can keep one foot in each world that are really giving the world what it needs. So that's the first thing we need to talk about. How do you know whether you want to just be a practitioner or you want to do the whole ball of wax? You want to be an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I have to say that I think it's something you don't know absolutely for sure until you try, as so many things in life are. But I think it also depends on your background. I mean, if you have any kind of working experience, and most of us do, you know or could examine whether you enjoy being in charge of things, whether you enjoy making decisions and being empowered, or if you prefer to just get the work done. There are a great number of people that are out there in corporate or any other business that prefer to just do their work. Leave me alone, let me do this, and then go home. And there's nothing wrong with that. We would not have the working relationships that we do. We wouldn't have the businesses that we do if that were not the case. Everyone to his own preference. And that's the case in heart-centered businesses. In my own experience, when I was first laid off from corporate America and started working in my own business finally, I realized that I enjoyed just doing the work. I know readers, I know massage practitioners, I know quite a few in my business of a variety of heart-centered businesses that really do prefer to just do their work. Leave me alone. Let me do this. I love doing massages. I go to different places to do them. But I'm not interested in being a business owner. That's wonderful. But there are those who, frankly, I turned into that prefer to be in charge. I realized that I still had an employee mentality when I started out doing this Lightseeds work. And when I realized that, oh my gosh, I'm the one making decisions. I'm in charge now. I don't have to answer to anybody. It was so freeing, Corby. It was so freeing to realize I knew the best. Instinctively, spiritually, I knew the best. I knew what my mission was. I knew how I wanted to work, with whom I wanted to work. That's when the power hit. And that's when my mindset changed to an employer mentality. And I became an entrepreneur, a business owner.
Okay, now here's one. You talked about if you want to be a chief or if you want to be an Indian, as the old saying goes.
Right.
What if you were always good at being second in command? They'd say, I kind of want this, and you'd make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's halfway between. How do you measure out there whether you really do want to take over everything or you just want to be a practitioner or you want to find somebody like you?
Right.
Because
right.
You're the third option there, baby.
And exactly that. I was just going to suggest that. One of the things I stress in my blogging, in my newsletters or anything else is a message to the practitioner or entrepreneur, the heart-centered business person, you can delegate anything you choose to delegate. Anything that is not your strength, you can delegate. There's always someone to delegate to. And I think that's a good starting place to test the waters. That's the middle ground. When you are not the writer, but you want writing to express your desires for your business, or when you're not the scheduler, you don't like keeping track of time, there are always people, whether it's virtual assistants or online programs or even college students, there's always somebody to help you. So that, to me, is a place to start stepping out and practicing your skills and see whether that's what you enjoy or not.
Okay, let's say you're not sure, but you need to at least figure out what you're doing. You've got this brilliant questionnaire, self-questionnaire, that I want to go over a little bit, because the questions you ask are the things that you look at and you go, of course, I have to ask that, but you don't think about it
right,
unless you've got a business background. So let's start with, you got to do, I am doing X, because I Y, and then they Z. So go over that a little bit.
I'm, as you know, but your listeners are not aware, I'm a big student practitioner of law of attraction. And those teachings, whatever label you like to put onto it, those teachings all come down to what I call the trinity of creation. Thought, word, and deed, idea, emotion, action, something along those lines. These questions that I'm asking here in my workbook follow that trinity. I am doing, let's say, my massage work. That's your thought. That's your intention. Because I, that's the emotion, the feeling behind it. An example I use so often is because I enjoy making people feel good physically, relieving pain. And then they, that's the third piece of it. That's the result that you're doing your work for. Why are you a massage therapist? Why are you doing that work? Why are you a card reader? Why are you anything? What's the result you want your client to experience? You're working with that result is the inspired action to the piece.
That's important because you have I am doing blank because I blank. But for me, there's always that other word after I want, I enjoy.
Yes.
When you answer these questions, you really will see how much you love the idea of it versus how much you love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the most important things, especially if you're going to be the entrepreneur, you're going to be a doer,
right,
not just a thinker.
That's a superb point. And to me, there's no point in stepping out into your own work, whether it's as a practitioner or entrepreneur, unless it feeds your spirit. If it is not, oh, God, I love this, there's no point in doing it. And I believe that comes in degrees, and it comes through trial and error and experience. You may not start out saying, oh, I love this, but it's my hope that you would. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's critical to that trinity of creation process.
Some of the things you ask are really important. Who do you want to do it for? What's the ideal market? Is there a demand? Be specific. You got to know who you're selling it to, because that's how you determine your specialty. If we can use me as an example, not all psychics do the same thing. I've preached this for years. What are my specialties? Past life retrieval. Yes, I'm a medium and I'm a good medium, but I love working with people about their career questions because I'm good with a drill down. This is how it works. This is how you can put your business together. So
until I acknowledged that what I love about my work is X, Y, I didn't know how to direct it towards people. Can you give us an example of another practitioner, how they would figure out what their target audience is in order to get to the right folks?
I can give you an example of someone I know, and it was based on desire. I know a woman who has a full-time job, but had watched a couple of family members suffer with and then die from cancer. She watched how the caregivers and once they got into hospice, the hospice workers and everyone else worked with the person. She realized there was some things she could offer. So she started massage therapy, going back to that again. But in the process, she also picked up, I believe, 5 different energy healing modalities. She realized that the driving force behind doing all that was a passion for making not just the patients feel better, but the caregivers as well. And so she was able to focus on a specific market. She knew there was a demand based on just the experience that she went through. And so she was able to find the perfect niche that matched not just her own passion and what she wanted to provide, but those who needed it. It wasn't until I, in my own business, got really specific about that suddenly I had a waiting list. I got very specific about not just the kind of people I chose to work with, but what I chose to offer. And all of a sudden, they found me. And I believe in marketing. I believe in getting known. I believe, of course, in broadcasting your existence. But once you get into the proper mindset and get that proper focus, and proper meaning for you, they will find you. Build it and they will come.
One of the important things that you talk about are things like, how do your specific offerings or services really march to your own truth? Mm-hmm. Because that's really important. The first person who needs to believe in your business is you.
Yeah.
Because you got to know what you're selling. You remember the old 30-second elevator pitch?
Oh, yeah.
In advertising, for those of you who don't know, it's exactly what it sounds like. If you got a product you believe in, you should be able to get into an elevator on floor 1. And when everybody gets off in 30 seconds, you will have told them exactly who you are, what you do, and handed your business card, and you will have intrigued them. Now, I don't care if you don't work where there are elevators, you still need your 30-second elevator pitch. How can somebody construct that? And we're not literally talking about, you know, writing 101, but if they can get that 30-second elevator pitch, they're going to know what they're here for, what they can do, and how they want to put it out in the world. So how do they go about finding that structure for themselves?
I think it takes a lot of introspection, a lot of self-analysis, a lot of self-awareness. And I think some of the questions that I ask in the workbook and in the program are relevant to that discovery. But for instance, if I have run across a few people and have questioned a few people about that process for themselves. And when I ask a new Reiki practitioner, for instance, all right, there are Reiki practitioners on every corner. Who cares? Who are you in relation to Reiki? Why is it important to you? What is your specific filter? It might come from, well, I was recovering from a god-awful car accident, and I discovered the benefits that Reiki gave me. So there again, there's a specialty. That person might choose to work with trauma or accidents, you know, physical trauma. If you are trying to come up with another example, a tarot card reader. There's no offense, Corby. There are none to excel you. However, it's true that
McDonald's of readers.
Yeah,
many
people
are.
Use that modality. Many people use cards. So what is the spin? What makes their own take on those unique? Do they perhaps have a great artistic vision and are really able to interpret the images in the cards? Are they highly intuitive and the cards are something that they can touch? They have a tactile sense. They have a tactile gift. I think no matter what modality and what your practice is, if you are self-aware and know not only from where you come, but where you want to go, what your unique take is on that industry, again, they will find you. I think that's the most important part.
You also, in flip side, have to know who you don't want to cater to. I fully admit I don't do Rugrats. Give me the kids when they're like 16 and up and all the adults, and I love them. But I'm not the kind of person that does readings for little kids or wants to do classes for little kids. I haven't got the patience. I totally own it. So I would make sure that I structured how I sold things, the ideas of the workshops, all of that, and structured my entire business so that I was not somebody that mommy would bring Binky and Muffin to. And there's no shame in not being the thing for everybody. I can't stress that often enough.
Absolutely. I think, and that's my point of this whole topic, that it, again, to go back to what we talked about at the beginning, if you are not interested in any of these explorations, you just want to do your work, wonderful, you've found your niche. But there are many of us, like myself, who want to stretch, want to reach more people, because that's generally the result of having a business owner's mindset. There are far more people you can reach. If you reach more people, then you can do more work and do more good. And I think that self-limitation, in a good sense, is critical. I agree with you. It's the same happened with my own practice. When I realized that I was not willing to work with those who were either last-minute-itis practitioners or extremely rushed, extremely busy, didn't have a focus of their own business, didn't really have a goal and asked me to find one for them, those are not the people that I personally would choose to work with in my practice. However, there are many who would. You have to find the right partnership between yourself and your prospective client.
So what are some of the qualities you should look for that will go ding, 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 you are so made to be an entrepreneur and you can make this work?
Oh, that's a pithy question.
That's my job.
Yes, indeed. I think one key is the why. To me, that's one of the most important keys, the why. What are you in business for? What's your practice for? And again, going back to who you want to reach and having that right mindset can reach more people, if your why is truly heart-based, then you're going to want to do what you can for the people that you work with. I'm trying to think of a specific example. Mind gone blank.
Okay, let's move on. It'll come back to you in a minute.
It will.
It's important that if you're going to do the entrepreneur, you need to watch for some of the pitfalls. And I say some of the pitfalls are the over fancy sign and business card mentality. Because when you start a new business, you like the business card, you like the signs, you like the advertising, you like all the stuff. But if you spend yourself into a massive hole and then you're trying to be an entrepreneur, that's not the way to do it. One of the things that I recommend for a lot of practitioners is, you know, how I did it, which is called grafting it on. Work your full-time job or your part-times or whatever. Do this part-time and see how you like it. And if you can, sock away every penny you make on this alternate business, so that when you're ready to jump ship, do it full time or whatever, the money is there and you're not going into debt to do it.
Perfect.
One of the reasons that I always look so put together is people like you and people like Chris Altman from Luna Lake Design. But I made sure that I could afford you before I hired you.
Right.
And that people need to have money sense or they're not going to make it.
Right. I totally agree with that. And I think time sense, which in this mindset equals the money mindset. It's, you have to be aware not just of how many hours you want to work and what's your most productive time of day and so forth. Those are all kind of basics. However, I think that having the right mindset of time expenditure, how you're using your time, it's the same as how you're using your money. It's, you don't want to be frivolous with your time either. And most certainly, one thing I stress, especially to new practitioners, is not working 120 hours a week. There has to be balance. And I think that your point about continuing in some form of, shall we say, regular business, some form of steady employment, steady income, allows you the time to stretch a bit. But it's critical that you make sure that your work-life balance is proper for the business that you're in and for the life that you want, because you cannot stress yourself so that you're giving everything away to clients. There again, it defeats the purpose of being able to provide for those that you want to provide for.
It really does. Besides, if you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, as so many of us are asked to do working for somebody else, and then you try to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week for yourself, you haven't got time to breathe, do your laundry, or think about how you want your new business to go. That's one of the reasons why the balance is important. And even when you get your business started, all my clients know Wednesday is date day and date night, and it is the one day of the week I insist on not working.
Good.
And it's been a struggle to do it because people want me, and it's, well, Wednesday is my only day and my radio show's on a Wednesday and I want you, can't you change it? No, I can't. That's like the old camel in the tent story. The camel was cold, wasn't allowed in the tent, said, oh, please, can I stick in my nose? And the guy said, yeah. And the nose went to the face, went to the front half, went to the guy was outside and the camel was in the tent. So it's important. If you don't draw boundaries for yourself and keep them, you're not going to be able to expect clients to accept your boundaries and understand your boundaries, and you're going to burn out so fast. You're going to be neither an entrepreneur nor a practitioner. You're going to be a puddle.
Perfectly said.
Now, we're coming up on break. So, Holly, tell people where they can find you and what they can find from you when they find you.
Well, my website is www.lightseedsbyholly.com. And you can also just type in Lightseeds and you will find me that way. And my specific business focus is business development for heart-centered entrepreneurs. Although I do many things, I consider communications to be my forte. I enjoy writing. I help create client newsletters. I do blogging. I do a great deal of event coordination. So quite a variety of things, but I do specifically work with heart-centered people, whether they're practitioners or entrepreneurs.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, this is Corby Mitlide. You're listening to Fire Through Spirit, and my guest this week is Holly Mattson, my own superb virtual assistant, who is talking to us about the difference between entrepreneur and practitioner, how you know if that's what you want to be, which one, how to set up one, how to accept the other, and how not to get so lost in the morass that you forget who you are from day to day. So we're going to be back after the end of break with more of this information. In the meantime, we've done a fair number of business shows that I really do suggest that you go and find our podcasts. You can find them on empowerradio.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on, I think at least a dozen different platforms. But I've been doing these business shows because we need you out there. If you are someone who wants to walk the light path, if you're someone that has something to give to people that they're not going to find at the big box stores and the malls, that's why we're doing these shows. So I want you to stay tuned. Holly's going to give us a lot of tips and tricks for how to, once we've got the business set up, how to delegate, how to decide where to put our advertising, all of those important things, which will make you an entrepreneur par excellence. So on the other side of the break, come on back. See you in a minute.
You're listening to Empower Radio. For a complete archive of Fire Through Spirit, visit empowerradio.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes and Stitcher Radio. More Fire Through Spirit with Corby Mitlide next on Empower Radio.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
How do you wake up the entire African-American community to the hidden issue of mental health problems? Share your story.
My sadness and depression grew out of giving myself to my career before I would give myself to myself. And then I am out there speaking in front of thousands of people with a smile pasted on my face, but dying on the inside. Hiding sadness makes you more and more sad because it closes you off. And I think that being able to talk about it is so liberating. Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing. And the most revolutionary and healing thing that Black people can do right now is to love one another.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. Together we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
This is Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Now, back to Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midlife.
Welcome back, folks. It's one of my business panorama shows. We're with Holly Mattson of Lightseeds by Holly. She happens to be my own virtual assistant and a fine one indeed. And we're talking about entrepreneur versus practitioner. Which one are you? One of the most important things, Holly, that you're going to have to do, especially if you're an entrepreneur who doesn't want to drown, is learn how to delegate. And most people, if they love running their own business, you have to pry things out of their hands.
Well, I think one of the keys about delegation goes back to what we said about introspection and knowing your own skills. But it also comes along with goal planning. They are, to me, greatly interrelated because in my own opinion, the practitioner is sort of an employee mindset. An entrepreneur business owner has an employer mindset. And whether or not they're experienced in business and in delegation, they're in the process of setting goals for their business. They know where they want to take it. They know what they want to do. In specifics, they're usually developing systems. In that process, they're discovering what they know they're good at or what they know they stink at. I know many people who struggle with technology. That's just not their thing. In fact, I must admit, I'm one of them. I don't care about technology. I'm great at the things that I need to do my job. If you are a business owner with that mindset, then it's critical to examine your goals, examine your day-to-day processes, and realize what you are either not good at or just don't know how to do. There's no shame in saying, I hate doing this, you do it. I started out being an appointment scheduler for that very reason. People don't like to do some of the day-to-day grind. So, as I said earlier, there's always someone to delegate to. But I think knowing what to get to delegate is the first point, and then you can find who.
Your thing about the appointment scheduling is so important. There are an awful lot of good apps out there that can do that.
Yes.
So you have to ask, what am I spending the money for? Now, with my situation, I still do my scheduling the old-fashioned way because my schedule has to be fluid because of how often I'm on the road and the people who call at home for major readings and things like that. But if you are someone who simply is a massage therapist or you do counseling sessions or whatever, if you go online, you're going to find some spectacular apps for putting appointments together where people can just sign in and they'll pick out a time at Tuesday at 2:30 and they want a half an hour with you and that's $80 and there's the PayPal thing and boom, done. Why should you reinvent the wheel?
Absolutely.
But at the same time, if you're going to be doing this work, let me tell you, don't try to mess around with Uncle Sugar. I have paid taxes since I first started doing this work. Every year I made money, he got some of his. This is my own personal opinion, is if I want roads, if I want services, if I want to be someone that helps take care of my fellow man that I may not know who lives in Albuquerque, that's where my taxes go. So I have no problem paying reasonable taxes. I know a lot of people that try to hide it. Don't do that. For one thing, it's not being a real entrepreneur. And number two, you're telling the universe, hi, I'm not an honest person. What kind of clients do you think you're going to get? Not honest clients. Holly, am I on target here?
Yes, indeed you are. In fact, I found from my own experience when I was starting out, I was, and I confess this to everybody who asked, I was in a fear state because I had been through a layoff and just couldn't understand how I could make ends meet and all of that. So I generated fear-based clients, and I think you are exactly right. If you try to run a heart-centered business, I stress that word, and try to kind of go around the system a bit, are you truly heart-centered? And who are you going to attract in the process? You're dead on there.
Now, doing a heart-centered business is not the same as doing a plumbing supply place or, you know, Benson's Pet Center or something like that. So what are some of the ways that a heart-centered business entrepreneur has to make things different besides paying your taxes? When they're looking to delegate, what are some of the things that they need to look for in an assistant or in some kind of a business setup that will be able to help them?
Funny you should ask, because we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I did produce a book a couple of years ago called The Spiritual Virtual Assistant, in which my goal was to train either people who are already virtual assistants or those who might choose to change careers. I interviewed many, many, many practitioners that I knew, and that was one of the key questions. What is it that makes this business different from so many others? And one of the top responses that I got from everyone, no matter what industry they were in, was the sense of compassion and integrity. Anyone that you choose to delegate to must be of that mindset. They must understand that in most cases, the people coming to a heart-based practitioner or entrepreneur have some kind of disablement or dis-ease. They either want information or they want healing or they want to feel better in some form. If you have someone that you approach to help you with any of the tasks that you want to delegate and they think either your business is complete gibberish or they just don't get it, you're not a match. So it's critical to make sure that your own mindset is communicated to anybody that you choose to work with.
There also has to be a sense of simpatico. If you're a very laid back person who likes to look at things carefully, then if you have a virtual assistant who is bang, 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 you're probably not going to be able to talk to each other, though you may talk at each other.
That's true.
Not saying that you need to find someone else who's as totally laid back as you are. You might not get the work done. Conversely, if you are bang, 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 you may not want someone who is just as forceful because, again, you will probably be at cross purposes. There is a give and take. There is a yin and yang to any business relationship. So when you are interviewing the people you're going to delegate to, it's important to check into that little inner feeling. Not that they're going to be so nice, they're always going to make you feel better. Because there have been some times, oh, my listeners, that Holly has told me it isn't going to work this way. I don't care how much you want it, but we have to change it. And the rare times when Holly's done that, she's been right. So now she never has to get to that point. I will generally say, this is what I want. Is it feasible? If not, how do we change it?
Right.
You have to be willing to listen to the person you're delegating to, listen to your assistant, and come to a compromise position. You can't say, I'm the captain of the ship. You'll do it my way.
And I have attempted,
yes,
to my detriment, to work with a couple of people like that, quickly discovering that is not how I operate. And again, I think that that comes back into employer-employee mindset. Anyone who delegates to someone that they pay, whether you label it as a virtual assistant or not, you must remember that unless you are contracting with someone full-time, where they are captive to you, they are an employee of yours, you need to remember that whether it's the college student or the experienced expert virtual assistant, they are not a true employee. They, in almost all cases, are going to have other clients to work with. It's just like in corporate America when you have one administrative assistant who reports to three different departments. It's important to be respectful on both sides of how the time needs to be shared.
Trust me, I've been in that position with a bunch of lawyers. It's not fun.
No.
So when you are beginning a relationship with a virtual assistant, how do you start it? What do you lay out? What's the way to start the relationship on a good footing in terms of the logistics?
I think it's important, first off, to explore what the particular person's skills and interests and technology skills are. Just as if you were hiring an employee, you do need to make sure that what they have to offer matches your needs, obviously. If you have specific things that you need to delegate, you need to find out whether this person does that. I've recently had people come to me to either handle technology issues that I don't do or data entry and things like that. They were lovely people. They had great intentions, great businesses, but I was not the match for those people. So it's important, again, on both sides, whether you're listening in terms of, I might like to assist these people, or whether you're listening as a potential business owner, remember to create that match. Do some research. I think logistically it's critical to remember that these people are not going to be sharing an office with you at your beck and call. And so it's important to be able to plan. It's important to be able to understand, even through practice, these tasks that take this amount of time. It's important to understand time differences, even as something as simple as I'm on the West Coast, my VA is on the East Coast. I have to remember that I can't call her at her 10 o'clock at night and expect something to get done. It's also important logistically to think in terms of volume. How much can you afford, especially when you're beginning, if you choose to delegate it? Again, in terms of planning, thinking of, here's what I need to have done. Here's how much time I think it would take. Here's how much I need to pay to have that accomplished. So planning ahead of time becomes far more important than when you're doing all the work yourself. You know your own schedule, and you can fit things in here and there. But when you're working with someone outside your own business, I think those are really important things to remember.
You brought up how much things would cost. And you're hitting on one of my biggest bugaboos. So many people assume that because we're in a heart-centered business, they can forget to pay us. We're supposed to do it for free. Can't you lower the price for me? And you would never ask that of your plumber, your doctor, or your, well, you might ask your lawyer. But generally, people set a fair fee and they expect to be paid. I want to stress, just because you're dealing with an assistant in a heart-based business doesn't mean that they get paid last. Again, it's what are you saying to the universe? Oh, it's a heart-based business. She won't mind if I put her at the end of the line. Well, what are you? You're a heart-based business. Do you really want to have to chase after your own clients? So you have to treat anyone who's going to work with you in this holistic business the way you would treat the most golden employee if you were in charge of International Widget. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but it's so important to me because I see so many people stiff their friends. Other people saying, oh, well, can't we barter something? No, I don't need what you've got. I need to pay my electric bill. So no, I'm going to charge you. Right. And it doesn't mean that they don't love you. And it doesn't mean that they're not, you know, completely enlightened and a light worker. It just means they have an electric bill to pay. Money is energy in this world. I'll get off my soapbox now. You want to step up on it, huh?
Thank you. I'll borrow it just for a quick moment. I recently, over the last year, had an experience where someone decided that what I was offering was not worth what they were paying for me. And I politely said, great, okay, here's some recommendations. You might want to look at this and this and this, and you might find someone less expensive. But I'll tell you what, are you going to pay the dentist to take out your appendix or remove a brain tumor? You want to pay appropriately, not just for the skill level of anyone that you're working with, you know, college student versus 20-year experienced virtual assistant, but you want to pay them for the skills and the experience that they have and how that ties in with your expectations and what you need.
Holly, I want you to give us the highs and the lows. I want us, and no names, give us your absolutely best client experience. And we're not just talking this one little incident. We're talking about the best and most understanding client you have. And the one that drove you so crazy, you kicked them out the door and were gleeful when they hit the ground. Because people need to see this contrast.
I think that anyone who's in a support position of any sort has a tale or two. To begin with the negative side, because I don't normally focus on negative either, is someone who was referred to me who needed a skill that I had, which was the newsletters, the blogging, and so forth. It was an industry that I knew almost nothing about and said so. And I said, well, let's just give this a trial. And so the person that I was working with, we set some expectations. I sent emails back and forth and said, here's the way I do this. Here's some examples. That's fabulous. But when we got into the work and I was creating for this person, suddenly they became heatedly angry. That's not what we talked about, yet I had documentation that we had talked about that. And there again was a match issue. This person was not only different in industry, not heart-based, it's something completely mundane, so I violated my own standards, but she was very hyper, very last minute, everything was a crisis, everything was critical, and just negative energy-based. It was my own dumb fault for accepting that to begin with. I wanted to see what I could do to help her. That was the worst, because I finally said, this is not working the way this is. I can't support you in the way you choose to be supported. Let's part ways. Now, the flip side of that is someone who's in a business position right now. She's a fabulous business coach, time strategy extraordinaire. She's basically an efficiency expert. We communicate so well. I've been working with her for probably a year and a half. She is extremely organized. She knows what she needs. She knows when she needs it. She knows roughly how long it will take. She asks questions. She asks for input. She offers her own. And it's a true partnership. And I think there is no better relationship for any kind of an assistant in any industry. It's a partnership. And I cherish that relationship. We also laugh a lot, which is critical. You know me. And I think, I'm not just saying this because that's who I'm talking to, but seriously, you and I have that same kind of relationship. And I think that that's a key point to success on both our parts. We interrelate, we discuss, we talk, we throw ideas back and forth. The result is something fabulous.
The other thing is, both of us know we're good at what we do. I'm sure that as a virtual assistant, you do a certain amount of hand-holding, you're not being hired as a counselor to make, little dancing zebra here happy with her Reiki work. That's got to be her job. And you come to help her when that's there.
I am increasingly being called to kind of offer some coaching and some support for newbies, which is just a delight for me. With these kinds of programs is the what we're discussing, an entrepreneur practitioner. I love doing that work, but that is a completely separate thing from being a spiritual virtual assistant. It really is a separate mindset and separate work.
It's also, you're not holding their hands about, I'm really not that good. I don't think that's the kind of thing I'm saying is inappropriate with your virtual assistant.
Absolutely.
Go find a spiritual counselor for that one. Find a reverend. They'll put their collar on. They'll talk to you. Now, what are some of the most weird things you've ever been asked to do? Appropriate or not? And if they're not appropriate, you can tell us. I remember I had a boss once, and I won't say in which industry or which town, but one of my jobs was to make sure that his ex-wife got her alimony checks every week, and I had to forge his signature.
Well, I had stories.
Because he said, that woman is not going to get any money from me. You do it. And, both of them are dead now. So,
oh, dear.
But it's that kind of thing. When you're 21, you don't say no.
Right. Oh, yes.
Now, I'd look at him and pat him on the head and say, have a nice life, get another assistant.
And again, corporate America is a different animal from what we're talking about. And I have stories from my corporate America experience. Honestly, I think the weirdest thing that I've been asked to do, I'm trying to be specific. There was one ex-client who was, I'm trying to think of a polite way. I don't need to be polite. She's not listening or anything. I certainly would never say names, but she's a very, very hyperactive ADHD kind of a person and expected me to be able to represent her in copywriting. And I would write with the beginning, middle, and ending, which most of it's expect when we're reading. And she ripped it apart and put it back together in her way. And when I went back to read it, I thought, no one on this planet is going to understand what on earth you're trying to say except you. And there again, that was another relationship that went by the wayside because she was not able to get out of her own way to allow someone else to help.
And that brings up another important point, which is, how do you gracefully part ways? It doesn't have to hurt. It doesn't have to be name calling or tantrums.
No.
But how do you do it gracefully and when?
Well, and I think the gracefully part is in part comes along with the heart centered. If you are in an intention based business like these, you generally have a little bit better handle on, and that's a broad generalization, but you generally have a better handle on how to communicate or how to treat people. I think that the when comes in when you first start to notice discomfort. I myself, even back in corporate America, I had let things go on far too long. And when you notice discomfort and you try to make adjustments for it, as you would on a GPS, rerouting, all right, let's try this new route. No, that's not working either. Trust your gut for the timing. The how is simply a matter of, I guess, rather like in a romantic relationship, finding the words that represent your truth in this isn't working for me, I'm not providing you, if you're on the virtual assistant end, as I was, I'm not providing you the service that you need. I can offer you a whole bunch of references, here's some great ideas, let's agree to part ways, and you'll do beautifully with one of these people. If you're on the employer and entrepreneur kind of a side of the fence. Something similar. My goals are different from yours, or my vision is changing, or whatever kinds of words you choose to do. And all you need to simply do is say, I think that we're both best served if we part ways. I think critical to the process, and I won't get into all the legal mumbo-jumbo, but it depends on how your contract is written. Always, always, footnote, sign the contract. But if your contract between the person helping you and yourself states that there's 30 days notice, that's wonderful. Follow that. If there is no term written into it, then you can terminate a relationship at any time. But I think, as you just said, Corby, that the doing it in a proper mindset and with proper courtesy and respect for the person's skills is critical.
And you brought up something important, and that's the contract. One of the things that I've always been chary about is working with friends, because if you don't work out well with friends, you lose the business side and the friendship side. So you need to really ask yourself, can you separate out what you need to ask them as a business person from the friendship thing? And that's something that takes real finesse.
Yes.
So even if you're working for someone that you've known for years, you grew up in kindergarten together, you listen to the same boy bands, you were roommates in college, I don't care. You get a contract to make sure that you can keep that friendship separate from the business. And if the friendship end stays and the business end goes, you don't lose by it. Now, we're coming up on the end of the program, and I know that you had a special for the Fire Through Spirit listeners. Holly, you want to talk about that?
I wanted to offer a special for my program just because I'm so, so passionate, as you said earlier, about getting people out there. You've got to use the gifts that you have. That's the reason you brought them into this life. I wanted to offer a special price. When you go on my website and look at the webinar, Entrepreneur or Practitioner, you decide. It's a short video, pithy video, that brings up a lot of interesting things to think about, along with an easy workbook. And the normal price is $25, but I wanted to offer a $20 special for you. Now, you wouldn't be able to purchase that from the website, but you can email me, holly@lightseedsoffice.com. Again, my email is all over my website. Email me and tell me that you heard about me with Corby or on Fire Through Spirit, and I can send you a PayPal invoice for the discounted price. It's such important work that I think that this program offers, and I think that it will really encourage you to look at what you want to get out there into the world and some ways that you can do it.
Holly, thank you for having even more time with me this week than normal. Folks, if you want to seriously take your business to the next level, whether it is Holly, who is fabulous, or another virtual assistant, it's when you're telling yourself, I am really serious about what I want to do. I am worth getting support. I am worth help. And the more I do, the more it gets out into the world. I can't tell you how much the world needs us right now. We're going to next week go on a totally different direction with my good friend, Celtic storyteller Andrew Steed, and his new book. If you want to find me this week, the places are firethroughspirit.com, Facebook, Fire Through Spirit, Twitter, Corby Mitlide. And if you're listening, I've got my own special this weekend. Soul plan readings usually take hours, but I'm doing quick past life retrievals. If you go to my website, firethroughspirit.com, you'll see all about them. That's this coming weekend. So until next week, have an absolutely wonderful time. Start exploring what it is that you want to do out in the world. All of you practitioners out there, if you want to take it to the next level, trust me, there is room for you. We need it desperately. For every plumber, for every doctor, for every lawyer, there needs to be a massage therapist, an intuitive counselor, a business coach, someone that is going to take us into the next areas. And as my friend Sherita Starr says, we are coming up on Mercury retrograde, which is time to review, reassess, and reinvent. So as soon as Mercury goes direct, you can take off with your business like there's no tomorrow. This has been Corby Mitlide on Fire Through Spirit. I've had a great time with you. Do come back and be with us next week for more dialogue, discovery, and discussion. We'll see you then.